Hey everyone, and welcome to Just Fish Things TV. I'm Rob.
I'm Sarah.
And we are diving deep
into betta care.
Today, betta care 101.
Everything you need to know about these incredible fish.
So bettas, Siamese fighting fish.
Yeah.
Really popular in the aquarium world, I think.
Absolutely.
And for good reason.
Beautiful, beautiful fish.
They're just gorgeous. The colors, the
and
fins.
Falcons.
A lot of people, I think, go about betta care the wrong way.
Yes, there are a lot of myths out there.
Yeah, so let's bust some of those myths.
Let's do it.
First of all, where do they come from?
Southeast Asia. They're found in these kind of like warm, slow-moving waters.
Right.
Like rice paddies, things like that.
So that should give you a clue as to what kind of environment they need?
Absolutely.
And it's not a tiny bowl?
No, not at all.
Like you see in a lot of places.
Yeah, I mean, they might survive in a tiny bowl.
Right.
But thrive... not so much.
Right. To really let them be their best selves.
Exactly.
They need the right space.
Exactly. They need room to move.
And they have this really interesting adaptation.
They do.
This organ.
Called a labyrinth organ.
The labyrinth organ,
yeah.
Which lets them breathe air from the surface.
Yeah. So they can actually gulp air from the surface, which is how they're adapted to those
sometimes
low oxygen environments.
So you can't say, oh, they have a little bowl, but they can go up to the surface.
Exactly.
That's not how it works.
That's not an excuse.
So tank size, what are we talking?
5 gallons is the absolute minimum for a single betta.
Okay.
10 is even better if you can swing it, but 5 is the minimum.
All right. So 5 gallons, write that down.
Write that down.
So we've got the tank size. Temperature.
Temperature is super important.
It can't be just any old water.
No.
What do we need?
We need to mimic those tropical temperatures, so 75 to 82 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
A heater is non-negotiable.
So we got a heater.
Yes.
We got a 5-gallon tank.
At least.
At least. What about decorating this thing?
Yes, this is the fun part.
Time to make it pretty.
Bettas love a stimulating environment.
Okay.
So we're talking smooth gravel or sand on the bottom, something that won't hurt their fins.
Right.
And then decorations are key.
Okay.
Think caves, rocks, plants.
Gotcha.
All that good stuff. It gives them places to hide, to explore.
So it's not just for us to look at. It's for them to...
it's for their well-being.
Yeah, to feel comfortable.
To feel comfortable.
Now, live plants, would those be good?
Live plants are amazing.
Okay.
Not only do they help with water quality, which is something we're going to get into,
right,
but they provide that little piece of natural habitat for your fish.
Right. So water quality, you mentioned that.
The nitrogen cycle.
That sounds a little sciencey.
It is a little sciencey, but it's really important.
Okay, break it down for me.
Okay, so think of it as the invisible ecosystem in your tank.
Right.
Your fish produces waste, right?
Yeah.
That waste gets broken down by beneficial bacteria into less harmful substances. That whole process is the nitrogen cycle.
So why is that important to me?
It's important because if that cycle isn't established...
right.
Your fish is basically swimming in its own toxic waste.
So when you're setting up a new tank...
right.
You have to cycle it.
You have to cycle the tank. You let those good bacteria grow.
Okay.
So they can handle the waste.
So how long does that take?
It can take a few weeks.
A few weeks.
Yeah, it depends.
But it's worth it.
But it is absolutely the foundation for a healthy betta home.
Okay, so we've got our tank. It's cycled. The heater's in there. The decorations. Now we just add water and we're good.
Not so fast.
Oh.
Water quality is an ongoing thing.
So what are we talking? Water changes.
Water changes.
How often are we doing that?
Ideally, you want to do partial water changes, about 15 to 25% of the total volume, every 1 to 2 winks.
Okay, so every week or two, 15 to 25%.
Of the water.
Of the water, out with the old, in with the new.
Out with the old, in with the new. That helps to remove any buildup of waste. Even with the nitrogen cycle going, there's still going to be some stuff that accumulates.
Right. So, you know, I'm thinking of people at home who might be intimidated by water changes. Any tips to make it easier?
Gravel vacuum.
Gravel vacuum.
Gravel vacuum. It's like a siphon.
Okay.
It sucks up the debris from the bottom of the tank without you having to remove all the gravel.
Oh, I see.
It's a game changer.
So we've got the gravel vacuum, and when we're putting the new water in, can we just use straight tap water?
No, you need to dechlorinate it.
Dechlorinate.
Chlorine is harmful to fish.
Got it.
So grab a dechlorinator from your local pet store.
Right.
That's important. Or you can use well water or spring water if that's available to you.
Okay, so we've got the tank situation figured out. But what about what goes in the betta? What are we feeding these guys?
These guys are carnivores.
Okay.
In the wild, they're eating insects and little invertebrates.
So we can't just sprinkle some fish flakes in there.
You can, but high-quality betta pellets are a much better option.
Okay, betta pellets?
Specially formulated to meet their nutritional needs.
But little variety's good, right?
It's good.
Like, I wouldn't want to eat protein bars all day, every day.
So occasional treats, things like bloodworms, brine shrimp, daphnia.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Those are all great.
But portion control is important.
Portion control is key.
Why is that?
Because a betta's stomach is about the size of its eye.
Seriously.
Seriously.
That tiny.
That tiny. So if you overfeed them, it can lead to digestive problems.
Okay.
And it messes with the water quality that we work so hard to establish.
Right. So a few pellets once or twice a day.
Once or twice a day.
Okay.
That's plenty.
All right. So say we've got our perfect setup. The tank's cycled. The food's ready.
Mm-hmm.
How do we pick out a healthy betta and get it settled into its new home?
When you're at the pet store, you want to look for an active fish. One that's alert, has bright colors.
Okay.
Make sure that the fins are intact, no signs of disease.
So we find our healthy friend. We bring him home. What's the next step? Just plop him in the tank?
No, we need to acclimate them.
Right.
We don't want to just dump them into a brand new environment.
That makes sense.
So the floating bag method is a good way to do it.
Floating bag. Explain that.
You basically float the bag that the betta comes in right in the tank.
Okay.
For about 15, 20 minutes.
Let the temperatures equalize?
Let the temperatures equalize.
Right.
And then you slowly add small amounts of tank water to the bag over an hour or so.
So they slowly get used to?
To the parameters of the water.
Okay.
So it's not such a shock to their system.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So they're in the tank, acclimated, hopefully feeling good. But now the big question.
The big question.
Everyone wants to know. Tank mates.
Yeah.
Can we put other fish in with our bettas?
Well, that depends.
Depends on a lot of things.
It depends.
But they are called Siamese fighting fish.
Fighting fish.
So that should give you a clue.
A little bit of a clue.
Let's talk about that. The myth of the fighting fish.
Okay.
So, male bettas.
Male bettas.
They need to be alone.
Generally, yes. Two males in the same tank is almost guaranteed to end in a fight.
Right. They're territorial.
They're territorial.
They see each other as competition.
Absolutely.
Sometimes to the death.
Unfortunately, yes.
So, males are a solo act.
Males are solo.
What about the ladies?
Female bettas can sometimes live together.
Okay.
In groups called sororities.
Sororities.
Yeah.
Interesting. But it's not always easy.
It's not always easy. It's more nuanced.
Okay, why is that?
Because they have their own little hierarchy. They have their own.
So there can be some aggression?
There can be aggression. Like, you need a large enough tank. You need plenty of hiding places.
So it's not just a free-for-all.
No, it takes some planning.
Gotcha. So males are solo, females maybe in groups. What about mixing them with other types of fish?
That's where things get tricky.
Tricky, okay.
With male bettas especially, they often can't be kept with other fish.
Well, what's the problem there?
Well, they have those long flowing fins,
right,
which other fish may see as a threat or something to nip at.
I see.
And they may see other colorful fish as rivals.
So they're going to attack.
Exactly.
So stick with a betta-only tank.
For males, usually yes.
Right.
Females, there's a chance.
A chance.
That you could have them in a community tank.
But we'll get to that later.
Yes, we will.
All right. So how can you tell if your betta is happy and healthy?
A healthy betta is a vibrant betta.
Okay.
Bright colors, smooth skin. They should be active.
Right.
Swimming around, good appetite.
Right.
And those fins should be fully extended.
Okay, those beautiful fins.
Glowing nicely.
Any warning signs to watch out for?
Loss of color.
Okay.
Clamped fins, lethargy.
Right.
Any unusual spot.
Hiding all the time.
Hiding, not eating.
Yeah.
Those are all signs that something might be wrong.
So you want to address that right away. Well, we've talked a lot about the tank setup, keeping the water clean, food. But there's this whole other side to these guys that we haven't touched on yet.
Yes.
Breeding.
Breeding male.
The bettas build.
They build bubble nests.
The bubble nests.
It's pretty amazing.
I've seen pictures, but I don't really understand the whole purpose.
So the male betta will actually build these intricate little nests out of bubbles.
Really?
At the surface of the water.
Wow.
To protect their eggs.
And they guard those nests?
They guard them fiercely.
Wow.
They will chase away anything.
So they're good dads.
They are good dads, dedicated dads.
Well, breeding bettas, that's a whole other.
That's another deep dive.
Deep dive.
Another time.
Yeah, I think we just scratched the surface.
Just scratched the
surface of the betta world today.
We'll dive in some more next time.
All right, so stay tuned for part two. And until then, keep those betas thriving, everyone.
Welcome back to Just Fish Things TV.
We are back, diving deeper into Beta Care 101.
We talked a lot about male and female betas and how they're different in terms of tank mates.
Right, right.
But how do you tell them apart in the first place?
Yeah, because most of the betas I see, are those really vibrant males?
Yeah, the males are definitely the showstoppers with the bright colors and those long flowing fins.
So the females are just like a smaller version of the male?
They are typically smaller.
Okay.
And their fins are definitely shorter.
Okay.
Their colors tend to be a little more muted.
Okay, so like an understated beauty.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe.
And they often have this white spot called an egg spot on their belly near the anal fin.
So that's a giveaway.
That's a sure sign you've got a female.
Yeah. All right, so we talked about male betas being aggressive with each other. What about towards the females?
That's a good question.
Because it's not all, you know, sunshine and roses.
It's not all sunshine and roses, no.
I figure.
Even though they need each other to breed.
Right.
The males can be aggressive towards females as well.
Wow. So there's drama in the beta dating world.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
During courtship, the male can get pretty rough.
Okay.
Chasing the female around, nipping fins.
Wow.
Even biting. So having plenty of hiding places in the tank is crucial.
So she can get away from him.
Exactly.
If things get a little too heated.
And it's important to monitor them during breeding.
Now, speaking of breeding, you mentioned those bubble nests.
The bubble nests.
I've always seen those and I've never understood, like, what is the point?
So the bubble nest is essentially like a nursery for the eggs.
Oh, okay.
The male builds it at the surface of the water using his own saliva.
What?
To create these tiny little interconnected bubbles.
Oh.
And he fiercely guards that nest.
So he guards it.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good dad.
He's very protective.
So we've talked about, you know, the setup, keeping the water clean, feeding them. But what about enrichment?
Enrichment, yes.
Do betas need enrichment?
That is a great question. And a lot of people don't think about that.
Because they're just fish, right?
Right.
What are they going to do?
But they're actually quite intelligent.
Okay.
And just like any other animal, they can get bored.
So how do we keep a beta entertained?
Well, a lot of the things we do
for
their physical environment are also enriching for them.
Like the plants, for example.
The live plants,
they
help with water quality, but they also provide those natural hiding places.
Okay.
Exploration opportunities.
Makes sense. And the decorations, too.
And decorations.
Like the caves and stuff?
Absolutely. Anything that makes their tank a little more interesting.
No. This sounds a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard that betas like to play with ping pong balls?
They do. Yeah. They love to push them around the tank.
What?
Yeah, it's a great way for them to exercise.
That's crazy.
That a little bit of fun.
I'm trying that with mine.
You should.
All right, any other enrichment ideas?
You can also try using a mirror.
Okay.
Briefly.
A mirror. Yeah.
It creates like a rival for your beta.
Okay.
And can trigger those natural flaring instincts.
But you don't want to leave it in there too long.
No, short bursts are best.
Plus not stressful.
A few minutes at a time.
Okay.
Just enough to get them engaged.
So enrichment is good for betas.
It's good for their mental and emotional well-being.
It's not just about making the tank look good.
Exactly.
It's about making them...
It's about making them happy and healthy.
Happy and healthy. Now, we talked about the labyrinth organ.
Yes.
The thing that lets them breathe air from the surface. Does that mean they don't need a filter or an air pump?
That is a common misconception.
Okay.
While they can survive in environments with less oxygen, they still thrive with clean, oxygenated water.
So a filter is still a must?
A filter is a must-have.
Right. What about an air pump?
An air pump isn't strictly necessary, but it can be beneficial.
In what way?
It adds more oxygen to the water.
Right. So especially if you have a lot of plants.
If you have plants.
They use oxygen at night.
They use oxygen at night.
Okay. So it's a good idea to have an air pump in that case.
So if you have an air pump or if you don't, you still need a filter.
You still need a filter, yes.
All right. Now, every beta owner needs to know how to recognize signs of illness.
Yes, absolutely.
So what are we looking for?
You want to keep a close eye on your beta's behavior and their appearance.
Okay, like specifically what?
So if your beta is suddenly less active, lethargic, hiding more than usual,
Okay.
Those are all red flags.
Right. So if they're not acting like themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah, something's wrong.
You also want to keep an eye on their appetite.
Right.
Loss of appetite is a major warning sign.
Gotcha.
And then look for any changes in their physical appearance.
Okay.
Things like clamped fins.
Right.
Faded colors.
Right.
Any unusual spots or growths on their body.
Like if their scales are raised or falling off.
Exactly.
Yeah, those are bad signs.
Those are bad signs. So if you notice anything like that.
Okay.
It's best to consult a veterinarian who specializes in fish. All right, better safe than sorry.
Better safe than sorry.
When it comes to our betas, now let's talk about lighting.
Lighting, yes.
Because I thought betas didn't need a lot of light.
They don't need super bright light.
Okay.
Like some other fish.
Okay.
But they do have a natural day-night cycle.
So they need a balance.
Of light and dark.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A consistent lighting schedule helps to regulate their sleep patterns.
Yeah.
Hormone production.
Wow, it affects all of that.
It affects a lot. Even their immune system.
So how do we set up lighting? Do we need anything fancy?
No, a simple LED light
designed
for aquariums is perfect.
Okay.
And you want to aim for about 8 to 12 hours of light per day.
8 to 12 hours.
Yeah.
And then off for the...
Off for the remaining hours.
Okay, so a timer is useful.
A timer is super handy.
Yeah, to keep that schedule.
Exactly.
What about how strong the light is?
You want to avoid anything too harsh or overly bright.
Right.
Remember... Betas prefer subdued lighting.
Like their natural habitat? Exactly. So a dimmable LED light
is
a great option.
Cool. So we've talked about a lot of beta care.
Well, yeah.
Keeping them healthy. But even with the best care, things happen.
Things happen.
They get sick.
They can get sick.
So what are some common diseases and what can we do about them?
Well, one of the most frequent ailments is fin rot.
Fin rot, yeah.
You'll notice the fins start to fray.
Like they look kind of ragged.
Exactly, kind of disintegrating.
And those beautiful fins, they start to deteriorate.
It's usually caused by poor water quality.
Okay.
Or bacteria.
So again, clean tank, healthy fish.
Clean tank, healthy fish.
How do we treat it though?
There are medications specifically for fin rot.
Okay.
You can find those at your local pet store or through an aquatic veterinarian.
Gotcha. Any other diseases?
Another common one is ick.
Eek,
also known as white spot disease.
White spot. Oh, yeah.
Little white spots all over the fish.
I've seen pictures of that.
Yeah, it looks like salt's been sprinkled on them. Those white spots are actually caused by a parasite.
A parasite. So it's not just a cosmetic thing.
No, it's a parasite.
That's serious.
It's serious. If it's not treated, it can be fatal.
Oh, wow.
But there are medications that are very effective at treating it.
Okay. What about fungal infections?
Fungal infections are another one that you see.
What do those look like?
They often show up as like cottony growths.
Oh, wow.
On their body or fins.
So that's kind of scary.
It can be. It's usually caused by stress or poor water quality.
So again, clean tank.
Clean tank is key.
Super important.
And there are antifungal medications available.
Okay. So we've covered... a lot of information here.
We have.
About beta care.
It's amazing how much there is to learn.
Yeah, and it's clear we're still learning new things.
Absolutely.
About betas.
So it's always good to stay updated on the latest research.
And if you're ever concerned about your beta's health, consult a vet.
Consult a vet.
Who specializes in fish.
Now let's talk about community tanks. We touched on it briefly earlier.
Right, we said males generally need their own space.
Yeah.
But what if you really want a community tank and you want a betta in it?
It's not impossible.
Okay.
But it does require some research.
Okay.
Careful planning.
So how do you even begin
to
figure out who can live with a betta?
The key is choosing tank mates that are compatible in terms of temperament and needs.
Right. So they have to get along.
They have to get along.
But they also have to thrive.
They have to thrive.
In the same environment.
In the same environment.
Makes sense.
So first and foremost, you need peaceful species.
Okay.
Avoid anything known to be aggressive or nippy.
Especially fin nippers.
Especially fin nippers, yes.
Right.
Betas with those beautiful long fins are very vulnerable.
And no tiger barbs.
No tiger barbs, no.
No, those are little bullies.
You also want to avoid fish that are too large or boisterous.
Okay.
Because they could intimidate or even injure the beta.
And of course... similar water requirements.
Similar water requirements are key.
So temperature, pH.
All of that.
All that good stuff.
Yeah.
So what are some good tank mates?
Well, some popular choices include certain types of tetras.
Okay.
Like neon tetras or cardinal tetras.
Those are really pretty.
They are beautiful. And they're generally peaceful.
Okay.
And they're schooling fish.
Schooling.
Which means they stay together.
So they're not going to bother the betta as much.
Exactly.
Any other options?
Resboras.
Resboras.
They're another great choice.
Okay.
They're small. They're peaceful. Active. Come in a variety of colors.
I like that, the variety.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Don't forget about the bottom dwellers.
Bottom dwellers.
Ouroduras catfish.
Ouroduras, yeah.
Those are fantastic.
The ones that clean up all the extra food.
Exactly. They scavenge around.
Okay.
Help keep the substrate clean.
So we've got some ideas of who could be a tank mate. But how do you introduce them to the tank?
That's a great question.
Can you just dump them all in?
You cannot just dump them all in.
No, that sounds bad.
It's a recipe for disaster.
What's the best way?
So it's actually best to add the tank mates first.
Okay.
Let them settle in.
And then the betta last.
Betta last.
Okay.
And make sure there are plenty of hiding places.
Right.
For everyone.
So they can get some space.
Exactly.
If you need it.
If they need it.
And of course, monitor them.
Monitor them closely.
Especially in the beginning.
Especially in the beginning.
Right.
Make sure everybody's getting along.
You know, it's amazing how much goes into creating a good community tank.
It is.
It's not just throwing a bunch of fish together and hoping for the best.
No, it's definitely not.
Well, we got even more to cover.
We do.
Stick around for part three.
And welcome back to Just Fish Things TV. We are wrapping up our deep dive today on betta care.
Betta care 101.
Betta care 101.
We've covered so much already.
We have.
But we have one more important area to explore.
Okay.
What happens when, even with our best efforts,
things go wrong?
Right. Things happen.
Things happen.
So how do we deal with a sick betta?
The key is knowing what to look for.
Okay.
And acting quickly.
Okay.
We talked about those warning signs.
In part two.
In part two, yeah.
Lethargy, loss of appetite.
Right.
Clamped fins, unusual spots, growths.
All signs that something's not right.
Right. But what are some specific diseases that bettas can get?
Well, one of the most common is fin rot.
Fin rot.
You'll notice that the fins start to fray.
Yeah.
Or even disintegrate.
It's sad to see. Those beautiful fins.
It is.
Just deteriorate.
But thankfully, it's usually treatable if you catch it early.
Okay.
Fin rot is often caused by poor water quality.
Right.
Poor bacteria.
So keeping that tank clean, really important.
So important for prevention.
Okay. So how do you treat it if it happens?
There are medications
specifically
designed to treat fin rot.
Okay.
You can find those at your local pet store.
Right.
Or through an aquatic veterinarian.
So what else should we be on the lookout for?
Another common one is also known as white spot disease.
Yeah, the white spots.
The little white spots.
It looks like salt's been sprinkled on the fish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Those white spots are actually caused by a parasite.
Oh, so it's not just a cosmetic thing.
It's not just cosmetic. No, it's a parasite.
And that's serious.
And it can be very serious if it's not treated.
Okay.
It can be fatal.
Wow.
But the good news is, there are medications that are very effective at treating it.
Good. What about fungal infections?
Fungal infections are another one
that
pops up pretty frequently.
What do those look like?
They often appear as like cottony growths.
Oh, wow.
On the fish's body or fins. Oh. And those are usually caused by stress or poor water quality.
So again, keeping that tank clean.
Keeping that tank clean is so important.
It's so important.
And there are antifungal medications available to treat those as well.
So many things can go wrong. But a clean tank.
Clean tank.
Can prevent a lot of them.
Can prevent a lot of these issues.
Now, is there anything else we should consider when it comes to our betta's health?
Well, one thing that often gets overlooked.
Okay.
Is the importance of choosing your betta wisely.
What do you mean?
Well, some bettas are sadly bred for certain physical traits that can actually compromise their health.
You're talking about the super long flowing fins.
I'm talking about the super long flowing fins.
Right.
While they're beautiful to look at,
yeah.
they can actually make it difficult for the fish to swim.
I could see that.
And maneuver properly.
Yeah, it's like trying to swim with a big heavy gown on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And those long fins can make them more prone to injury and infection.
So how do we make sure we're not contributing to this problem?
It starts with being informed.
Okay.
When you're choosing a betta. Look for one that has healthy, well-proportioned fins.
Okay.
Don't be swayed by those super exaggerated features.
So it's like choosing a dog breed.
It is like choosing a dog breed.
Yeah.
You wouldn't choose a breed that's known
to have health
it's
problems.
It's not because they look a certain way.
It's just because they look a certain way.
Okay, so you got to think about the fish's well-being.
You have to think about the fish's well-being.
Not just the aesthetics.
Not just how they look.
Okay, so what if, for whatever reason, you can't care for your betta anymore? What are your options?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
First and foremost,
yeah.
Never, ever release a betta into the wild.
Why not? What's wrong with that?
Releasing a non-native species into an ecosystem can have devastating consequences.
Okay.
They can outcompete native species.
Okay.
They can disrupt the food chain.
Wow.
They can introduce diseases.
I never knew it was that serious.
It's very serious.
Okay, so what can we do?
The most responsible thing to do is to try to rehome them.
Okay, so how would you go about doing that?
Reach out to friends, family, local aquarium societies.
Okay.
Rescue organizations.
Actually, a lot of people don't realize there are rescue organizations for fish.
There are a lot of them out there.
Wow.
Dedicated to finding good homes for unwanted fish.
Could you also check with the store?
You can also check with the store where you purchased the betta.
Right.
Some pet stores have return policies.
Okay.
For betta.
So there are options.
There are options to find a good home.
You just have to be responsible.
Okay.
And ensure their safety and well-being.
Well, I think we've covered just about everything.
I think we have.
When it comes to betta care.
Or at least as much as we can.
For one deep dive.
In one deep dive.
Yeah. We've gone from setting up the tank to...
We have.
Breeding, disease prevention.
All the things.
And I think the big takeaway is that with a little knowledge and effort, we can give these incredible creatures
absolutely
good life.
They deserve it.
So keep learning.
Keep learning.
Keep exploring. And keep those bettas thriving. Thanks for joining us on Just Fish Things TV.